Amen. The young people, children, may follow your teacher. Amen. To each and every one of you that is here this morning, amen. Glad to see our members back safely. Amen. Glad to see each and every one of you in your respective places. Turn to 2 Peter if you stand for the reading of God's word. 2 Peter's 2nd chapter, 4th verse. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? My subject is still the same. I'm still talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not a subject title given pastor. It's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. I can come up with some fancy titles and folks will only remember the titles but won't remember the message that was given. So I want you to hear the message. Amen. And not get hung up on the titles. Amen. I'm reading from the King James Version, so it will be slightly worded differently, just so you know. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And let me read the 5th verse. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Amen. For the reading of God's word, we need to understand that God spared not the angels and spared not the world, but saved Noah, the 8th person. Have y'all ever thought about it? That we say God, he spared not the world, but he only saved 8 people. Have y'all ever thought about that? It was only 8 people out of the entire world that was saved. I mean, do you ever think about that? It says Noah, the 8th person. 8 people out of the entire world that was spared. Understand this. We are living in a time that is falling away from Christ. I don't know how you can miss it. And if you're missing it, to me, you're not living. Because it's obvious. And what I want to talk to you today is that most men hunger, when I say men, I'm speaking of the mass, everyone. Most men hunger after the latest news. But let me just go back here for a moment and let us understand and think of the past before man was. It does us good to understand back when God was dealing with his creatures and looking at history. We should not confine our attention to God's dealing with men, but we should observe how he acts towards another order of beings, how he dealt with angels before man and had become the sinners, of the second sinners. If angels transgress, what is his conduct towards them? For the Bible says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, he spared not the angels, but cast them down to hell. They are reserved unto judgment. So they were, the angels were very great. They were very powerful, but God did not spare them for that. If sinners are king, prince, princes, magistrates, millionaires, God would cast them also into hell. If they were commanders of all the forces of the world, he that is a just and righteous judge would not spare them because of their dignities and power. We have to understand, when we talk about God, we're not talking about a man. There is no comparison. Amen? No comparison. So a lot of times we compare God to how we feel. And when you compare God to how you feel, you're not going to get an accurate answer. Amen? It's just not going to work. But understand, the angels, they were numerous. I don't know exact number of angels, but I do understand that there was a legion, amen, of devils on one occasion. Okay, but God did not spare angelic sinners because they were so many of them. He made room in hell for them all and set them in darkness and in bonds, every one of them. God would not spare sinful men because of their millions. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God, whether it's a few or many, sinners must be punished, and God would not turn away his wrath from those who do iniquity. He did not, again, spare the rebellious angels. In John chapter 8 and 43, people are falling away from the faith and will spend eternity separated from God. Look around you. Look at how many empty seats we have in here. Notice the falling away. You can't get people to come to church. If you ask someone to come to church, this is what I normally hear when people, when I invite them. I can't make it this Sunday, but next Sunday, I'll be there. Y'all ever heard that before? I can't make it this Sunday because I got an obligation. But next Sunday, I'll be there. So they didn't give you a no, but they didn't give you a yes either. I'm just saying. Y'all ever notice that? And then when that Sunday comes, they're not here. It's kind of like that out of sight, out of mind. You don't see me. But according to Jesus, the Pharisees could not understand the words he spoke because they did not agree with him. The Pharisees did not want to hear what Jesus had to say because his words were different from their words, which is the devil, okay? Words, and they did not want to do what Jesus said. The Pharisees did not want anyone, not even God himself, to tell them what to do or place restrictions on their behavior. Listen to this. You will die and go to hell if you fail to believe the truth. God's word is the truth, period. In Matthew chapter 25 and 41, Jesus was very clear when he said hell was created for Satan and his angels. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't designed for us. Earth, as you know it, was designed for us. Paradise. That's hard for people to comprehend. comprehend that hell is prepared or hell is for them. They feel as though that they're not going there. And y'all ever notice that no matter how a person is, they put everybody in heaven? Y'all ever notice that? I mean, I don't care what this person, well, they're in heaven now. But I know that when a person dies in the Lord, that they go immediately to the presence of God. That's scripture. But I don't put everybody in heaven because I don't know what that person's last breath was or what they said. God is love, and he loves everyone. He's created. He loves everyone he's created. However, he has given everyone a free will. The question is, will you believe the Bible is God's word? Will you believe hell is real? Or will you believe the lying voice of the enemy who's saying hell is not real and the Bible is made is really written by men? You hear that a lot as well. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, in the last days there will be a falling away from the church. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of predictions. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's a sense of urgency. It is a sense of urgency. There is a falling away from the church. Folks don't want to come to church. You ask people to come, they ain't trying to hear it. They making up all kinds of excuses. We are living in those times. There's a falling away. No one has to do anything. People don't want to have anything to do with God. And during that time, men and women will be what? Like I said last Sunday, lovers of themselves. Blasphemers, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Because they are pleasure seekers, they will be caught in a web of deception, deceiving and being deceived. That's what's going to happen. Sin causes deception. Once deception sets in, a stronghold is built and operated by a stronghold. That means no matter what you tell or say to this person, you're not going to change them. Because their mind is fixated on wrong. No matter how much you say to them, no matter how much you preach the gospel, they ain't hearing it. The signs of the end of the time shows us that the earth has reached the last days. Rebellion against God is all around. Scientists are doing their best to convince us that the earth evolved from nothing and there is no God. God's eternal law, the Ten Commandments, are being discarded. Not just by those outside the Christian faith, but also by those who profess to be Christians, who are not standing on the word of God. Governments are now permitting all sorts of immorality, including abortion, same-sex marriage, and many other vices, and the earth itself is in trouble with masses of natural disasters. It's the rapture. Things are being checked off on God's agenda. The rapture is something God wants us to know about because he doesn't want us to face life without hope. All right. Amen? Yeah. See, when the rapture occurs, the Bible says that Christ will bring back the souls that have gone and died with him, and he will reunite them to their bodies. Amen? And their bodies will be transformed, will be changed. So he's going to resurrect those bodies, and their souls will be re-entered into their bodies permanently in the resurrection. So we have to understand that this is going to take place. Why? Because the Bible said it. That's God's word. So
when will the rapture occur? That's a great question. That's often asked. It wasn't given to me. And I'm not going to sit up here and say that it's going to occur in 2020. Get ready. Everybody that has given a date and a time of the rapture has been wrong. Amen? Yeah. So God has not given it to you. All he said was be ready. Right. Amen? Yeah. He didn't say get ready. Be ready. Right. So therefore, we can't give a date and a time of when it comes, because y'all know how folks are. Y'all can see it in everyday life. If they tell you that you have until this time to do it, y'all know folks will take until that time to do it. I mean, they will wait and then get mad and get an attitude when they run out of stuff or when something happens. Why? Because they waited too late. They're really mad at themselves, but they take it out on you. Amen? So what I'm saying is, when the rapture occurs, things are going to take place that God has prophesied. So for some of you who don't like prophecy, you hear it every time you come to church. This word of God is prophecy. It prophesies to you. It tells you what's going to happen. So if the rapture occurs, the question is, will you be ready? I can tell you this, unless you are born again, you're not ready. See, I'm afraid that there's thousands of people who claim to be Christians, sometimes members of the church, who are living an outwardly Christian life, but not recognizing their need to put their personal trust in Jesus Christ as God and Savior. Only you can answer this question. Are you saved? All right. I can't answer that question. Only you can answer that. See, once you know you're saved, here comes the second question. What are you going to do about it? If you're going to face Jesus Christ at the judgment seat after the rapture, your life is going to be evaluated as to what you've done that is worthwhile from God's standpoint. Amen? And I'm sure most of you who've been on jobs, you've been evaluated, right? Amen. As this past year, for what I did in 2017, I was evaluated on that in the beginning of the year. And man, my boss brought me in and evaluated me on my performance. And she let me know what my performance was. And I wasn't expecting, you know, I'm going to just say this, you know, no disrespect to those who are in leadership, but I just put meet expectations, because, I mean, they ain't gonna give you nothing higher than that. Y'all know I'm real with that. They ain't gonna give you nothing higher than that. So I just put meets expectation. I don't care how hard I work, I just put meet expectation. I just put it through all of it. Because when you sit down with your boss, and if you know how you evaluate yourself for real, you put exceed expectation on everything. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's better than you. But then when you go talk to your boss, they evaluate you and be like, oh, no. Now, I disagree with you on this. And then that's when, if you wear your glasses, that's when you do like. You get evaluated. But I thank God that this past year, my evaluation was all exceed expectation. My boss said that's the first time in history that she's ever had anyone to work for her to get exceed expectation across the board. And she said it was voted on by the senior leadership, and the state president was the biggest advocate of me getting it. So I said, wow, I said, man, I'm sitting there looking, and I said, I didn't have my glasses on, but I looked, I said, man, exceed? I said, I don't think I've ever gotten this before, not from somebody else. I mean, I evaluate myself, and I give myself a good performance. But when it comes, I said, I may have got like, you know, you always get like one. The rest of them be me, but you get one. But man, I looked across the board. It was all exceed expectation. And I looked at, I said, wow. I said, man, that's something. And my boss said, you know, I want you to know that you now are in the top five in the entire associates. I said, praise God. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, not to tell you about my performance, but to tell you how we're going to be evaluated. Amen. I know some of us think that we've been doing a lot, but God, when you get in from that judgment seat, God said, well, you could have did more. Amen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all know how we get an attitude. Man, they better not call my name. I know that. You know, I'm tired of doing that. Then they find somebody else. Why they always got to call me? I got a job. I got stuff to do. I'm sorry. Just. Sorry, there's a little venting going on. You have to face the fact that Jesus is going to judge us. Okay? That's coming. So the question is, are you living a Christian life? It's not enough to just listen to God's word. You have to respond to it. Amen? I mean, it's not enough for my children just to hear me. I'm looking and expecting a response. Amen? If I say to them, go, I expect for them to not only hear what I'm saying, but actually to carry out my word. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So it's not enough to just hear God's word on Sunday morning. And you know how some people say, well, let me, I'm going to go to church and see what they can do for me. In other words, you all you want is a withdrawal, but you don't want to make no deposit. That's not how that works. We need to come. The only spectator, you read that sign out, it says, are you participating or are you a spectator? Which one are you? I say this, the only person, the only someone, let me say it this way, that is a spectator should be Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? That's the only someone that should be a spectator on Sunday morning. We should be worshiping. So in other words, we all should be actively doing something. But understand this, for those of us that don't respond to God's word, there is consequences for the non-response that you give. Because not responding is still responding. So understand this, once that we are gone, the Christians have left and we're gone in the rapture, there is something that's called tribulation, which means 7 years between the rapture and the second coming. From that point until the second coming, things will be worse than ever before. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus teaches that earthquakes will increase in various places in the last days. Earthquakes, floods, disease, war, sickness, and all kinds of evil and hatred will happen. All Christians will be hunted down and killed. Understand this. I hope that you're being scared this morning, because it's coming to that. We are basically, in a sense, being looked upon as a hate crime when we start saying that same sex is wrong. All right. And they want to actually throw you in jail. There are some parts of the country that actually wants to listen to the messages that is being preached from the pulpit, so they can hear if they are against same sex, and then keep that pastor from preaching or throw him in jail if he don't change his sermon. You don't think that it's coming to that? We're already here. That is why it's so important to be ready before the rapture, so you don't have to go through all of that mess. The Bible says it will be the worst period in all of history. What's going on in heavens? There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish. Men will faint from terror, and their hearts will fail them. Y'all understand, this is real. I ran across something, and I ran across something as I was doing my studies, and I was trying to, you know, really dig deep into something. You remember the Trade Center disaster, and I wonder if that was prophesied like hundreds of years ago in the Bible to illustrate the magnitude of violence in the last days. Now, where am I going with this? Because I'm looking at scripture in Zephaniah, I believe, is chapter 1, 16 and 17. It says, a day of the trumpet and alarms against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Twin towers? High towers? And in 17 it says, and I will bring distress upon men. That they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. That had me thinking. Has violence increased in the last days? Jesus teaches us that people will be living just as they did in the days of Noah and in the last days of Lot when he returned, with the absence of God in our school system, the rebellion, destruction, and devastation can only be expected. News reports clearly show us that violence is literally out of control. That's what I see on the news. I see out of control violence. The police officers can't even do anything about it. I don't care how many cameras they put up in the city, they still can't stop the violence. Y'all understand that? They can't do it. It is out of control. Each night we turn on the news, we hear reports of violence, rape, murders, gunpoint robbery, theft, bombing, drug trafficking, people driving a car through crowded people, sexual immorality, and greed. How close are we? Newspapers clearly show that society is increasing in violence, not decreasing. The combination of godless society and the use of deadly drugs is the heart of outrage and violence in these last days. What's that, opioid? Is God lifting his hedge of protection off of this society? When you push God out of the picture, devastation increases. When you're living in a way that your Father in heaven doesn't want you to, something happens inside of you. Something happens in your spirit, and your spirit can be crushed because not only do you feel guilty about what you know, listen to this, you're doing wrong, but you react to criticism that point to wrong, even when it doesn't apply to you, you generalize your guilt. That's one thing that's one of the things that sin does to people, that we start to generalize. We start to water down. We start to downplay things. When we do something we know is outside of God's will, let me say this, it's going to chase you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You can't keep doing wrong and expect good to come out of that wrong. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's not going to happen. When you do wrong, wrong is going to come. Wrong is a seed that's being planted. When you do good, good is going to come. I mean, I didn't plant no garden this year, so I shouldn't expect stuff to come up. I didn't plant anything. But if I plant seeds, I expect for it to come up. Y'all ever notice this? Listen to this. This is why it's important for us to understand the scriptures and study God's words. Ever since California passed the gay marriage law in 2008, they have experienced record-breaking fires. Y'all notice that? Every time you turn on the TV, they're talking about all these fires that's out of control, that's just burning and burning, and just, I mean, all of these mudslides, everything. Y'all notice this stuff is out of control? For the past few years, the United States has also experienced many record-breaking weather-related problems like anything, you name it, hurricanes, tornadoes, hailstorms, earthquakes. People are sitting back and wondering why the economy, why everything is crumbling, why is all of this happening? God's word clearly teaches. Read in Psalms 9 and 17. God's word clearly teaches that he will not bless a nation that has turned their backs on him. Get ready, all hell is about to unfold. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. See, preachers and pastors don't want to preach this type of stuff, because this doesn't feel and pack churches. This scares us too much. You have somebody who will come to you and say, Pastor, you're scaring us. You just stop scaring us. We want to hear about prosperity. Teach us how when we pay our tithes, we'll get a threefold blessing. Preach us some of that. Preach me to look at a vehicle and say, if I name it, I can claim it. Or if I look at somebody else's wife, I can look at her and name it and claim it. That's the type of preaching we want. No barriers. No restrictions. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's what people like. They like to be unrestricted. No laws. Listen to this. Jesus clearly explains that there will be one last day's generation that will see all of the biblical signs from the heavens and from the earth unfold in a powerful way, unlike everyone before. Jesus also teaches that when that much of the what you see now, the falling away in the churches, just ask somebody to, I dare y'all, what they say, two or three people, ask them. Somebody to come to church. Watch what you get. And y'all report back to me. Just ask somebody. Two or three people. I don't want you to spend your whole day. Just ask two or three people. I think that's enough. Ask them to come to church. I'm talking about, I ain't talking about the ones that's attending church. I'm talking about the ones that's not attending. Just ask them if they will come to church and see what you get. I bet you get a no. Or if you don't get a no, you won't see them here. Nobody wants to attend church. My question is, should we be standing up behind the pulpit preaching health, wealth, and prosperity? Or should we be preaching fire and brimstone? Turn or burn. One of those type of message. Get right or get left behind. Amen. You want to hear one of those? Amen. If you don't turn, you will burn. Right. No, they don't want to hear that. They'll be shaking. They'll be like, whoa. And you know how some people say, I ain't ready yet. And you have some people that say, well, I need to get myself together. If you could, trust me, you wouldn't need God and you would have done it by now. Listen to this. There's coming a time that the invitation that we extend on Sunday with outstretched arms, and we continue to say, whosoever will, let them come. There's going to be a time where that invitation is not going to be extended. Amen? Y'all know how you get people. I had some people, I was doing an event, and they and I was asking them to come to this event, and they didn't respond at the deadline that we had. And guess what? They wasn't invited. Tough. But it was. We turned just as many away as that was invited. Waited till the last minute. God is saying, now is the acceptable time. Now, like now, is the acceptable time. Get your house in order. Amen. All of Israel, listen to this, had transgressed against your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and judgments written in the law of Moses have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against God. It will be a time when all of mankind will suffer for their sins, a time so bad that we cannot even begin to imagine what it would be like. How many warnings do we need before we start heading? I don't need somebody to tell me to get an umbrella when it's raining outside. I can see the signs. I can see what's going on. And I can make a decision myself that if I go out there, I'm going to need some covering. Amen? I don't understand how many warnings do we need. When stuff happens, folks want to then run to the church. You know, I had one person, he said, church folks always want something for nothing. Yeah, you always want us to pray for you too. Just as in Noah's days, so also will be in these days. People will be eating, drinking, and marrying up to the day that Noah entered into the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. Y'all know only eight people. Eight people. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking and buying and selling and planting and building things. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur and rain came down. Rain down on them. Jesus has given us a warning. Not what might happen, but what will happen when he returns, and he is coming. I believe that the rapture team is in line now. Getting ready. Ready to come down. You know, I know my grandfather taught this for years. He said when Jesus was on the cross, he said the angels were looking. All they needed was God to say, sick them. All they needed was to hear the voice. They were ready to go down and get him off that cross and start cutting up folks. I believe that the angels are right now ready to come down and do God's work. Now, those who will be taken are those who have dropped the stubbornness. Amen. Yeah, I know we can be stubborn. But those who will be raptured up have dropped down the stubbornness of their hearts and have truly surrendered to the will of Jesus before that time. Those who will be left will be those nice people who have never surrendered their will over to Jesus. So you'll be a nice person in hell. They're going to need you down there for some encouragement because it's going to be hot. So you'll be a nice person in hell down there encouraging folks, letting them know it's going to get hotter because it ain't going to get better. Understand that. These days are coming. The message here is that no matter how nice we are, no matter how much we go to church, the only thing that gets us into heaven is truly giving up our pride and humbly accepting Jesus Christ as our master. Absolutely nothing else will account for that. The first time Jesus came, he came as Savior. He came as the Lamb of God. He was meek. He came to bear the sins of the world so we wouldn't have to. But when he comes again, it will not be as nice as he was. That meek person he was, he won't be like that. Like he was the first time. When he comes again, he will come as the all-powerful King of heaven. He will be mighty as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we never know when he will make his appearance. We have no idea. When he does, the whole world will hear the thunder and the flash of his appearance. But most of the world will not need to be ready for it, and they will not go up with him. Just keep doing what you're doing. If you ain't ready when he sound the trumpet, you ain't going up. Right. You got to have it in your heart. Right. It's got to be in you already. Right. Paul tells us that Jesus' return will be swift. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And you know, sometimes when you get a court date, you have to wait about a year to get your sentencing. Amen. But you got the ankle bracelet on in the meantime, just in case you try to make a run for it. I mean, I don't know nothing about it. I never had one, but I'm just saying I heard about it. But I'm just letting you know that his judgment is going to be swift. So he's coming back again. We need to understand that we are living in the last days. These days are almost over for most of us. Amen. So we are living in a time that they are accepting all kind of junk, all kind of stuff. The behavior is becoming like it's normal. Instead of the public being alarmed or outraged at the wicked, Jesus said they keep on eating and drinking and saying those things were not only normal, whoever opposed them was evil and hateful. So we are being looked upon as being hateful people. And so I want you to understand something. All that I've been telling you for the past two Sundays, does this not sound like America and this world we live in? I mean, when you got all kind of homosexuality, you know, is to be accepted, is to be honored, is to be looked upon as normal. If you even hint that it might be wrong, you are hatefully labeled. People are saying it doesn't affect them if others sin, so they don't see the need to get involved. Let me say this as plainly as I can. If you ignore it, you are guilty of it. Right. Amen? So no matter what you cannot do, you can always pray about it. Amen? That's like if you don't help out a police officer and the police officer find out that you are obstructing justice, guess what? You are a part of what is going on. So you are subject to be arrested as well. So I'm saying that if you're not speaking against what God is saying is wrong, then you're subject to be arrested as well. If this doesn't describe American Day, then nothing does. We have seen a rise in spirituality, but not of godliness. Folks, all these famous people talking about how this is right now. You know, there's nothing wrong with this person expressing themselves. There's nothing wrong with this person acting this way or changing what they believe in. This is just the way that things are now. Just because somebody famous say it, don't make it right. Jesus said, when we see these conditions, it is time for you to be ready. Because it is urgent that you get ready now. There is a reason that we need to understand that there is a sense of urgency. It's been prophesied that these things will take place. If God did not spare the angels, do you think that he's going to spare you? People think, well, I'm doing everything. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. God can't literally throw me into hell. He doesn't throw you in hell. You do it yourself. All you do is do this to yourself and you put yourself in hell. God does things according to your actions. However you respond to him is how he's going to respond to you. So let me say this. We look for signs. When we're driving and we're going somewhere, we look for signs. Amen, don't we? We look for the speed limit sign, right? I mean, we want to know what the speed limit is because we don't want to pay that ticket. I mean, we look for if there's a construction going on just in case we need to avoid that area. So we start looking for signs to help us better travel down the road that we're going. Some people predict that Jesus is coming on this date. You know, I can't give you a date, but I can give you a word. And the word is he's coming back soon. How soon is soon? Look up the definition of soon. It's closer now than you first believed. He could return any day, any moment, any time. All it takes is a matter of him just coming. So So take a look around at all the signs and of all the things that are going on in this world. You know, we need to understand something. It's time for the Christians to stop looking long-faced. We need to stop walking around with our head down. Stop getting discouraged. Stop letting people get us down. Stop letting people beat us up. Stop letting people get disappointed with folks. We need to keep our head held up high because we have something to be excited about. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? We have something to get excited about. No matter what we face in this world, it's all temporary. We're just pilgrims, just traveling through. All it is, we're just strangers and pilgrims. We are simply passing through this life. Our eternal home is in heaven. So I'm not at all that I should be or what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Every born-again child of God can say, I know that I have a long way to go, but I know that I have been changed because Jesus bought me. Amen? So we got something to be excited about. He chose me. He called me. He cleansed me and he changed me. I don't know about you, but I have something to be excited about. One thing I know about God is that God, when he begins something, he finishes. It's not like your project at home that you keep passing by and you haven't finished it. God starts something, he finishes it. God didn't get his people part way across the Red Sea. He brought them all the way across the Red Sea. You got to understand that we serve a God. I don't know who the Pointer Sisters were singing to, but I get so excited that I just can't hide it. And it says that I'm about to lose control. I don't know who you're serving this morning. I'm serving the God of Almighty. We need to understand that God has got us. No matter what we go through, no matter what we face, God is with us. You are a born again believer. God is with you. You have to understand something. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He has everything. There is nothing that God doesn't have. So we have something to get excited about. We don't have to walk around with our hands down. We can walk with our hands held high, chest stuck out. We don't have a dime in our pocket, but we are rich. We need to be ready. Because what we are seeing in this world, what is going on, we should understand that God is soon to come. And if you're ready, you're going to be caught up. We have something to be excited about. Excited about the coming of the Lord. Death doesn't sneak up on the child of God. Amen? Death doesn't sneak up on a child of God. God is with us. We need to understand something here this morning. God is with us. That means wherever I go, he's with me. He is watching over me. You can't do... You know, when Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. In other words, Jesus basically was saying, I had a conversation with the devil, and the devil slipped me a notice, and the notice had your name on it, and he had some things that he wanted to do to you. And when I looked at the notice, Peter, I noticed that he wanted to do some things to you, and I said that my servant is ready for it, so I'm praying for you, Peter. Before the devil can do anything to you, he's got to send in his requisition to God in order to mess with you. You need to understand that this morning. And whatever is on the requisition, God knows that you can handle it. Why do I know that? Because he signs off on it. When my boss gives me something at work, she gives me what I can handle. He said, Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm letting you know that the devil has just slipped me a requisition on you. Satan has slipped a requisition on all of us. I'm telling you, get ready for the fight. God knows you can handle it. And notice what Peter did, even though he stumbled a little bit, but he was the main leader of the disciples. God gave him another chance. This is what I'm telling you. You need to get excited. Whatever the devil tries to do to you, I'm telling you, God already knows about it. And he knows. He said, oh yeah, my servant can handle it. Have you considered Job? Oh, he can handle it. We need to get excited. We need to be excited. Not only get excited, we need to stay excited. Amen. If you ain't in church, if you by yourself, just sing a song to yourself. Amen. Go back to the spot where you got saved. Some of y'all want to get saved again. Some of y'all, it don't matter. Just do it again. But sing a song to yourself. Bring yourself into the presence of God. You don't have to wait for a preacher. Amen. You don't have to wait till you come to church. Start praising God on your own. But know this, that the devil is out to get us. He's trying to take as many out as he can. But you have to make that decision. He ain't getting this. Amen. He ain't getting this. I know, like I said last Sunday, it gets worse before it gets better. So I know that this is worse. But I know that it's going to get better for me. Because I've been through the storms. I've been through all of that. And the only way I can stand before you is to have been through something. This is why we need to encourage each other. Encourage one another in Christ. Amen.